Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So, how many passwords do you have? Oh, you know, and they're up. I've got at least 50 different passwords, you know, and they're all on, I can print them out. They're all about 7 pages of paper. If you own those 7 pieces of paper, you own me. Yeah, and even if we don't have computers and cell phones, we still have passwords because the government assigns us all a password, our social security number, and the U.S. mail assigns us a code to find out and identify where we are located. And if you're like me, you're sometimes forgetful. Has that ever happened to you where you forgot your password? It happened to me this past week, about a month ago. I tried to get online to one of my billing accounts, and they said, for your security, please reset your password. And then I got on this week to try to get access to the account, and after 3 tries, they locked me out. And so then you have to go through the phone call or the text message to get back in. And today we're going to talk a little bit about passwords, because sometimes when you're locked out, the passwords you try to use are not really appropriate and even can be a sin against the second commandment. Yes. So today is Reformation Sunday, right? That's why we're in red as pastor. Anybody have a Nats shirt on? Nobody. That's amazing. Okay. I guess nobody's given up on the Nats yet, have they? It's Reformation Sunday, and today's the day when we remember that Martin Luther discovered the password that allowed him access to God's grace. And the passwords we are assigned these days are alphanumeric, right? They've got, you need letters, you need numbers, you need symbols to have a strong password. But the password that Martin Luther found was very simple. Just 5 letters, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And in Luther's time, the time of the Reformation, the church had been around for about 1,500 years, and the Good Ship Gospel had been sailing along during that time underway. And in that time, that church had gotten covered with barnacles and infested with dry rot, all kinds of things that really didn't come from the time of the apostles and didn't come from the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Luther and the other reformers did is that they pulled that ship out of the water, put it up in dry dock, they scraped off the barnacles, and they cleared out the dry rot, put up new timbers, and made that ship seaworthy once again. And the date? Does anybody know the date that usually marks the beginning of the Reformation? October 31st, 1517, about 502 years ago now. Yeah. And October 31st is coming up. That's why today is Reformation Sunday. But Reformation Day is actually October 31st, Halloween. And why do we call it Halloween? It is the eve of All Hallows Day, All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. And so the next day was All Saints Day, and on Halloween, Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, theses for debate, because the next day, All Saints Day, one of the main celebrations and feasts of the church year, his prince, Prince Frederick the Wise, was going to drag out his treasures from his castle and display them in the castle church in Wittenberg for the people to come and see and pray to and receive forgiveness of sins on account of that. And do you know what his treasures were? relics. Relics of the saints. And if you've been to Europe, you can still go to the great cathedrals and see, like I think in Cologne, they have the bones of the three wise men in a big gold casket up in the front. So Frederick the Wise had the greatest collection of relics in all of Europe. And you know that relics are still around today. You can go on eBay, do you know that, and buy relics, all the way from about $10 for a cheap one to, I saw one yesterday, advertised for $2 million on eBay, a relic. And you have your first-class relics, your second-class relics, and your third-class relics. Okay, a first-class relic is a body part of a saint, usually hair or bone. A second-class relic is something that the saint has used, maybe a piece of clothing or a piece of the book or Bible that the saint has used. And a third-class relic is a piece of cloth or something like that, just a piece of felt or something that has been touched to a first-class relic. So if you want to be in the relic trade, you can know the difference between first, second, and third-class relics. But the truth is that the church forbids the sale of relics and the buying and selling of these things, even though people do that all the time. And when you have a church like St. Teresa's over here, it usually means that in the altar of the church, there is a first-class relic of that saint. So at St. Teresa's, they've got a bone or a piece of hair from the saint. And one of the theses that Luther had, theses number 62, that spoke really against the praying to relics and the receiving of forgiveness from prayers to relics, was this thesis, that the true treasure of the church is the gospel of the glory and grace of God. So the treasure of the church is not in relics, even though they can be very valuable. But the true treasure of the church is in the gospel and the grace of God. You see, Luther was a theologian. He was a student of the Bible. He had been studying for a long time, and his teachers had been teaching him that the church and faith was really about if only. If only you would pray more, if only you would confess more, if only you would work harder, if only you would do more for the Lord, then you would be worthy of his love. But Luther opened up the book of Romans, and in the book of Romans, he saw a quote from the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Habakkuk, which said, and this was in our reading for today, the righteous shall live by faith, not by works. Not by works, not by doing things. That's not what makes us acceptable to God. We can't earn God's love. We can't buy God's love. We can't bargain for God's love. Luther discovered that it is by faith in Jesus Christ that we come to know the love of God and experience that in our lives. So the password is Jesus. Jesus is the password, pass it on. Let's read that together. Jesus is the password, pass it on. Jesus is the password, pass it on. Don't keep it a secret, pass the news along. Jesus is the password, so pass it on. And I read a little story this week that kind of helped me get my mind around this whole idea of not by works, not by doing things, but by faith. And it was a story about two acrobats in the circus, trapeze artists. And how many of you have been to a circus? Okay, most of us. So we know what the big top looks like. It's got a couple of big poles holding the tent up. And the trapeze artists, they climb those poles. They climb a ladder up to the high platform way up above the ground. So I want you to imagine that you are one of those trapeze artists and you make your way out into the big top for the big show, and you start climbing that ladder up, up, up to the platform, and there your trapeze is attached by a rope to the pole, and you take your trapeze off the hook and you grab hold of that bar and you get ready and you jump off the platform 50 feet in the air and you swing out over the nothingness and you feel the breeze on your face. And as you swing forward, you reach the kind of apex of that swing and you start to swing back and you notice there's no safety net underneath you, and you're swinging and your partner is on the other side and he is swinging too, back and forth. You're trying to find a rhythm, and suddenly you see that he is signaling you to jump, you know, claps his hands a couple of times and you're ready to go. And so as you reach the apex of that swing once more, you let go of your trapeze and suddenly you are flying through the air. And at this point, what do? Nothing. There is nothing that you can do. If you try to grab your partner, you're going to mess up the rhythm of that swing and you're going to fall to your death. And all you can do is wait for your partner to grab hold of you. And that is the hardest thing, to trust someone else to save you and to reach out and keep you safe. And that is what Jesus asks each one of you to do, to trust him, to trust that he will reach down into this world and grab a hold of you and save you. And he has. You know, that's why he came. That's why God sent his son into this world, to live and to die and to rise again, so that you and I could be saved forever for him. You know, we all have our different identities in this world: husband, wife, mother, father, child. We have our identities in our workplace, our careers, our jobs. We all have different identities, but the password is always the same: Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. He came into this world to be your Savior and to grab hold of your life. He is there with you every step of the way as you walk through this world. He has made you his child through the waters of holy baptism, and he will never let you go. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for sending your Son Jesus into our world to be our Savior. And we praise you for the confidence that we have and the hope that we have in your Son. Bring us safely through the trials and the temptations of this world to one day be with you in eternity. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep you in your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.